going to university or whatever else you could be doing with your life?
So taking a gap year actually wasn't in kind of my plan for my life. So I think God was such an influence because it was in his plan where it wasn't in mine. I didn't want to take a gap year, really. I just wanted to go straight to uni. But as I kind of got to the point about choosing uni courses, I think I made a wrong decision in what I'd applied for. So I'm already a university dropout because I took my place back for that uni. So I think God had me in this gap year because he knew that that kind of would happen to me and I would need more time to kind of make up my mind about what I was going to be doing with my life.
So similar to Amy, I didn't really want to take a gap year either. About the age of 16, I knew that I wanted to do theology as going to uni. And I knew I wanted to go to a Bible college, but I just could not find the right Bible college at all. And I just kept on getting a bit angry at God because I was like, I know you want me to do theology, but you're just not putting me in the right place. So I was looking at gap years to try and take time out for doing theology. And then I looked at BMS action teams and I really didn't want to do it because I thought 6 months abroad, that's quite a long time. I don't think I can do that. And then I went to an open day and I really liked the look of it. And then now I'm here. So yeah.
So the one little issue is the getting there.
Oh yeah. I'm really scared of flying. And I don't really like curry either. And I don't deal well with heat. So it's a great placement. I thought there was only the one challenge,
which is the flight. But just remember this, 2 weeks today, the flight will be over.
Yeah, I can't do anything about the heat or the curry,
but you know, the flight will be done, so that's
curry.
One thing. Anyway, yeah, carry on.
I had planned to do a gap year since 2 years ago, maybe, because I'd always thought I'd wanted to do veterinary medicine from like primary one, which is reception. Getting good at this.
Yeah.
like, that was always what I'd wanted to do. You know, it was, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a vet. Like, always all my life. But then I realised that that wasn't what I wanted to do. That was what everybody else wanted me to do. So then I was like, oh, what do I do? So then I thought, I'll take a gap year because that gives me another year to see where God's trying to lead me. But then I was undecided about what gap year I should do, whether I should stay in Scotland, whether I should go abroad, what kind of work I should be doing. Then I done some research. And then actually, it's quite a cute little story about how I found out about action teams, I'm not going to lie. So our church had like the prayer evening on like a Thursday night. And we had homework club before it, and I hadn't finished. So I was still doing that out in like the church atrium, outside the notice board. So then I'd finished, and they were also praying, so I thought I can't be loud now. So I picked up the Engage magazine, just flicking through it, and then I just seen a little article about action teams. And I was like, oh, that sounds amazing. And then I went to an open day, and then I was like, this is definitely the programme for me. So, yeah.
I think I've always had an idea of taking gap year in my head, because people in my church who are like my older sister type figures, they'd all gone off and done mission abroad, so it was always kind of an idea that I'd had. And then at Soul Survivor 1 year, we were singing Hosanna, which I think we sang earlier actually, and it came up with the words, break our hearts with what breaks yours, at which point I got a vision of this girl just stood like all on her own, dusty road, like she was, yeah. And then that was kind of a recurring theme. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go where you want me to go, God. And I think my parents have actually been a big influence in that as well, because they've just always encouraged me to turn to God and go where he wants me to go, and put him at the center. So yeah, here I am.
Okay, great. And you told us a bit earlier on and showed us on the video clip what action teams do. So I guess in some ways you don't actually know the full program, do you? You don't actually really know fully what you're going to be doing in Delhi. But the thing I want us to hold on to is that in the Bible we're encouraged to realise that having faith is great, but having faith without actions, then it's dead, it's meaningless, it's nothing. So what you guys are actually doing is putting your faith directly into action. And whatever that needs to look like, God knows. You've already, you know, in different ways touched on that, haven't you? That, you know God has been speaking into your life through different influences, through different things. Yeah, he knows what the deal is. He knows what's coming. When we've, as a church, when we've been looking at the book of Romans over the last little while, we've been thinking about this phrase, living the gospel, how the gospel is something that we live out in our lives day by day. You don't have to go to India to do that. You can do that right where you are. These guys have been called to go to India, not necessarily chosen it directly themselves, but they've been called by God to do that. And in the first section of Romans that we looked at, we keep coming back to this, don't we, each week. The Apostle Paul talks about how he is so eager and he's totally committed to living his life for Jesus, and that he will never be ashamed of Jesus. He'll never hide that in his life or through the things that he's doing. So I was just wondering, as I was thinking about this morning, how does that work for you guys? How does this whole sense of being eager for God and totally committed to Jesus and never being ashamed to speak up for Jesus. How does this work for you? I think a couple of you are going to speak at this point.
Shall I go first? Yeah. So, for me, living out my faith is all about God's love. So, because I found many times that God's love and others showing me that love has helped me through so much. So, for me, it's just, I just really want other people to know how amazing God's love is and that they can get through anything and that there's so much to praise him for. And I just think that's what is my encouragement to living out the gospel.
For me, my faith is kind of very important because it's who I am as a person. I can't really see myself in a future not working in a job that means that I get to share the gospel every single day. And what makes me so eager is that I have the impact to like change people's lives and really see them change from maybe like being in a painful situation to then coming and knowing Jesus. And that's really exciting for me, the fact that we could possibly do that every single day. And also the fact that I never do anything on my own, that God's always there with me. And even if I, in like the major life decisions, I don't really have to make a decision because God's already made one for me, which is really, yeah, really reassuring.
Cool. Okay. So how easy has this been? You know, like a couple of you have already said, your families are not Christians, but you go to church yourselves. And we've chatted a bit about that along the way the last time you're here and this weekend. So, you know, how easy is it for you amongst your friends and your family to fully be living the gospel, fully living out your faith consistently? I don't know who's speaking this time.
I think it's obviously not always easy. Like with my family faith background and like the kind of friends that I've got, like it's not always easy or not always in the kind of situation where decisions and living out the gospel is easy. Like you'll be put in situations where you kind of know the right decision, but that is, it's such a difficult decision to make. But saying that, the way that God kind of is in my life, I don't have many Christian friends at school, but the way that God's in my life and the way that he puts kind of like love in my heart, I'm so, like unashamed to say to my friends, like, this is what I believe, this is why I'm not going to do what you're going to do. So it's not easy, but it's like so worth it to kind of live the life that God wants us to. If that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, for me it's also not easy all the time. As I said earlier, none of my family, like, I think I've got like a third cousin that's a Christian, nobody. None of my friends are Christians, though my best friend has since become a Christian. I think sometimes for me I struggle as well with the mentality of like, God, like, why? If I don't, definitely when I was a few years ago, like, I struggled with seeing what God's plan was for me, because like I'd had that plan of being a vet my whole life. So for me to realise that's not where God wanted me to go in life, I struggled with that. Then I think God had taught me through that I don't need to see it like 10 years into the future. I just take it one step at a time with him. But then like my brother, as brothers do, makes fun of me all the time. And it's being the only Christian in my family is hard, but then I think for me what keeps me going is the verses like Matthew 5, 14 to 16. So like the, you're the light of the world, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So those like that for me sums up what I try to do. It's still hard, like it's not easy at all, but yeah.
Okay, that's great. And so, you know, you've been honest and open about how there are moments in life here when it's not easy to live out your life fully for God, and, you know, you've got the different influences around you. And now here you are getting ready to go off for 6 months full of eagerness and commitment for God, and knowing that actually you're going to be in a completely different culture that you know very little about at the moment. What are you going to do to protect that sense of eagerness and excitement, that commitment to serving God when you're in a completely alien environment?
I think it's going to be quite hard. I think that because, as Cody said before, we are very much the minority of the like the religions out there. But I think what I'm excited for is, like, especially, I don't know about anybody else, but is looking at the different religions and the different faiths and how they live their faith, and then seeing how we can change our faith as well. So even though we're not going to follow the Hindu gods or whatever they believe in.
That's good to hear.
It is good, yeah. But, like, the way that they do their faith is going to be a lot different. So we're going to have to change the way that we do our faith to help us stay on top of our faith, but also to be to shine for them to see how we do our faith differently, if that makes sense.
Okay. So just carrying on building from there, coming back to Romans, what Paul does next in chapter 2, there's a whole focus in Paul's mind on helping people to understand what God's wrath and judgment is all about, and protecting his holiness and all of those kinds of things. One of the verses that struck me when we were looking at chapter 2 together a couple of weeks ago was Paul's encouragement, his sense of encouragement to keep doing good, persist in doing good, have that sense of total desire in our lives to always do good, to always do the right thing. Now, let me, I want each of you to answer this one. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is absolutely rubbish and 10 is you are so perfect, okay, how good at you on that scale are you are always doing good, always doing the right thing?
I give myself about maybe like a 5. I think like I really try, but there's obviously so much further for me to go. Obviously I'm never going to be perfect, I'm not Jesus, but like I can still every day make better decisions. Like, I'm always making mistakes, always, like, acting ways that I will regret. But there's still that kind of 5 that I have that means that I really try and I like, know what I should be like. It's just me as a human is very difficult to kind of get that other 5.
So I rated myself as a 5 as well. I think that For me, the same as Amy, I really try. I really do try. But I think that where I could improve is that trusting in God in the small areas as well. So the big decisions, I hand it all over to God and I'm like, you can do this one. But then the small decisions that I make every day, I think that I should trust God more. And sometimes I know that I'm doing wrong, but I think it's fine. It's only a small thing. Like, it doesn't matter. But those little small things do matter.
Hey, I rated myself a solid 6.
Well done. Yeah.
Like over the past year, it's definitely become easier for me. But like Amy was saying, we are only human. I do make a lot of mistakes, and there's a lot of room for improvement. But every day, I will consciously see myself try and make more godly decisions. Like sometimes you'll see me going to say something, and I'll just be like, no, that's okay. Like there's a conscious thing that I work on every day.
Just before you pass the microphone across, when you were at Mini Dom, so this was part of their training. These guys were sent off to, was it the whole week?
It was 4 days, 3 nights and 4 days. And we fell every single day, every single minute of every single day.
They were pushed to the limit. You were lied to at different times.
Oh, yes.
Numerous times.
By the leaders, on purpose, to challenge them, push them. I'm not encouraging this lie-in business, but, you know. And I hear there were one or two moments during that week where you weren't so impressed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first 2 days for me were really hard because they were proper pushing me, and then, like, I was in tears at one point, and the leader just turned around and said to me, oh, just get over yourself.
Which I, like, always helpful.
In retrospect, yeah. But like, I can see what he was trying to do, like trying to push. But like, at the time, I was fuming, not going to lie. And then the last 2 days, I found it easier because I was like, right, once this experience is over, I'll be able to look back on it and I'll be able to see what it was that God was trying to teach me through this, which I'll talk about later on another question. But like, yeah, it's
good.
It was challenging.
Okay.
I think I've put myself at a six as well. I try each day to follow God's guidance and do what he wants me to do and say things that he wants me to do. But there are certainly times where I've ignored him or just done something for selfish reasons rather than for others, or I've said something I really shouldn't have. So there's definitely a lot of room for improvement. Like the others, I just try to do my best and ask for forgiveness when I don't. Yeah,
good. Okay. Where this kind of, there's a relevance to this question. Where this, okay, I focused on the persisting doing good in Romans, but I was thinking about how when you're in India and when you're in a group of people who, once they've got to grips with who you are and have accepted that you're there and have welcomed you, they're letting you help them. It's really easy sometimes in these kinds of situations to get into this almost like Christian celebrity scenario. I'll give you an example from yesterday, right? So our next door neighbor, their daughter had her birthday get together with some of her friends. And one of the girls recognized, I had to pop something around, and one of the girls recognized me. And I had a text from Jessica's mum saying, do you know, one of Jessica's friends has just been absolutely wowed by your presence. I'm like, oh, that's very nice. How it turns out, she goes to one of the schools I go into for assembly, and, you know, is that Mr. Lewis who comes to our school for assembly? Yeah, it is. And she was absolutely wowed. So, but she knows nothing about me, really. You know, so this is what I'm trying to get to. Like, you'll be in front of people who will be seeing you doing your thing, and maybe not in, they won't see the other half of the five, they'll see the top end. You know, so they'll see you doing your thing, serving God, sharing your faith, helping them. But then there are going to be other moments, aren't there, when you're just amongst yourselves. And, you know, maybe there'll be moments when, like at Mini Don, you're feeling a bit pushed and a bit challenged. And then you're really going to see the real side of each other, aren't you? Have you really? Have you really? You've let that show. Your Mini Don has helped with that. You've let that show. So you know a bit more about the real side of each other. But there's going to be more of that learning to go, isn't there? So you know, when you show your weaknesses to each other as well as your strengths, that's going to be really important. So how do you think that's all going to work out? How are you going to not completely fall out and strop off and completely disagree? What's going to keep you together as a team?
I think the common denominator being God and also the work that we're doing. Like, we know that we have to work together to get things done. For example, at Mini Don, our leader pulled us to the side in one of our challenges and was like, we get things done, but we quite often do it the most difficult way. So he pulled us to the side and he said, like, you're doing it, but it's not the most effective way, because we all had different ideas. We were all doing our own little thing. But when he said that to us, it kind of switched and we all started working together to get it done. So I think the idea that we know that we work best together, so falling out and arguing is not going to help us in any way. It's just going to, like, deteriorate any situation that we're in.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think we'll be praying over situations as well, because God is the center of what we're trying to do. And I think that being in India in a completely different culture will actually give us a greater, a wider perspective on everything. So hopefully that will humble us a bit and we'll be able to take that into when we're working together and one of us feeling low or we're just arguing with each other. Yeah.
Can I add into there as well? I think as well, having fun with each other. I think that when you hear people saying they're going on a mission call, and it's quite often seen as like they're going to just be like the holiest of people. But actually, as a team, we have a great laugh together. And I think that we put our team spirit.
You do laugh a lot.
Yeah, we do laugh
you
a
do
lot.
Laugh a lot.
But we put our team spirit before the kind of really, really, really serious stuff. So then we've got that kind of joy in us to then be able to share God's word and like work well as a team and that sort of stuff. So having fun is quite important for us.
Yeah. You do laugh a lot. We're coming on to a question in a minute where I remember a particular scenario, which I might actually share. So we're going to, you know, nudge on to the next bit of Romans that we've looked at already. And this fits really well with what Hannah was just saying there. And this is the bit where Paul talks about having our righteousness comes through Christ Jesus, that our rightness with God comes through our faith with Jesus. Not in any other way. But there's this verse in one part of Romans where Paul talks about people who have exchanged the glory of their immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And then he goes on again in chapter 3 to talk about faith in Jesus Christ as the only thing that brings glory to God. So you're going into a completely different culture. You've touched on this already. In that place, you're going to be sharing life, doing life together with people who have you've mentioned this already, a whole different view of the word God, or gods, as it's going to be. But you're going to be there to try and communicate in the best way possible about faith through Jesus Christ. That's going to be quite a challenging, that feels to me, even sitting here saying it, feels like, wow, that's quite a challenge. And what do you know already about the culture and the religions and the differences, the things that you're going to go into? Shall I tell the story here?
Yeah, you can do.
Yeah. When they were here the last weekend they were with us, I asked a simple question. What have you been learning about IMC this week? And it was Orla who said, we've been learning about aneurysms. And I kind of did a double take and I thought, did you really mean that? Have you really been learning about aneurysms? Now, aneurysms is something to do with blood vessels and things not being quite right. I'm looking at Dr. Jill there. Yeah, yeah. And it really puzzled me as to why on earth a BMS World Mission teaching these guys about a medical condition, aneurysms. That's not what they said, though, is it?
No.
You kind of slightly miss her.
Tiny bit.
And then they laughed a lot at Orla. Yeah.
Yeah. In my defense, I can't say I was listening too much in the session either to know about the word. But no, we were learning about aneurysms.
Yeah, and now explain what that is.
So
I had to look that up, by the way, just to confess.
It's about the different ways that people see gods and spirits and how they worship them.
I'll take over all.
Yes. You were listening in the session.
Yes,
yeah, right.
The only
okay.
one apparently.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just about how they how they view God or gods. So for a lot of them, it's a lot more like for Buddhists, for example, it's a lot more to do with like nature and like spirits, like evil spirits, good spirits. So we had a talk from somebody who had went to Thailand and done mission work, and he was saying like a crossroad. His house. Orla, focus. His house was built on a crossroads, and he said that they got that house pretty cheap. And then he was wondering, you know, why was this house so cheap? But it turns out because the kind of animism culture in that town in Thailand, it was they believed that if you lived on like a crossroads, the spirits could come into your house.
They'd get confused.
Yeah,
when it got to the T junction, the spirit would get confused and then would just go straight into the house.
And but then he was saying, like, for him as well, like, that was... So that made them stick out even more, which I think for us as well, like... But he was rooted in his faith as well, so he was like, I don't believe that, so he's going to live there. But then he said that was hard for him then to try and integrate into the community because they all seen him as the white Christian man that lives in that house that nobody wants to live in. So that's kind of what animism is. It's all those little kind of weird things that other people believe, but for us it's about finding a middle ground. to connect with other people, because if you just say, oh, you know, like, they're not going to listen to you. They're just going to be like, that, it's a load of nonsense. But if you kind of, if you find a middle ground, I think that's what we're going to have to try and do. So, like, we were saying as well, like, a lot of cultures won't believe in sin. So if you try and talk about sin, but you don't actually say the word sin, you could find ways around it and try and find good middle ground to try and connect with people.
That's hugely important, isn't it? Is meeting people where they're at and working out how to communicate the gospel with them, not compromising on what you're saying or believing or living, but actually finding that connection with people. Were you about to answer that?
I was just going to say as well, I think that it's really important for us to understand why they believe what they believe and how they believe what they believe, so then we can kind of work with that to make sure that we're not like... disrespecting them in their religion and meeting people where they're at and really going from there.
Yeah, so it sounds like your training at IMC has begun to help with that. Will you have, this isn't a pre-prepared question, by the way, so get ready for this. What will happen? What's your mechanism? What's your support network then if you come across a situation in Delhi that you just don't know what to do with or your training didn't cover? What are you going to do then? Do you have a network back somewhere to connect with and get that help and support?
So we've got supervisors out there who are Indian, so they kind of have been brought up in that culture. We also have BMS and God, obviously. I think if we ever came across a situation where we didn't know what to happen, our first port of call would be to pray about it, to let BMS know, and our supervisors, who are kind of like our parents out there, so they would know.
Yeah, and I guess because... hopefully, if that does happen, then we'll have been in the culture for quite a while. So we'll hopefully maybe be able to read the situation and just try and act out of respect from what we already know, and then ask our supervisors about it afterwards so that they can give us the right answer. Yeah.
Okay. So how are you feeling about all of that? Because it seems to me like you've got a huge amount to learn and you're probably going to need to do that learning fairly quickly so that you actually can... cope. I was going to say survive, but I don't want to scare you too much. But, you know, so that you can survive, so that you can live well in the midst of that culture and not feel like, you know, I'm the odd one out in the corner or I'm the freak in the street or whatever. You know, it's how are you feeling about all of that, honestly?
So we had a culture briefing the other day in which they told us all of the kind of the cultural things that we're not allowed to do. So it's things like you have to eat and do everything with your right hand. You can't use your left hand. You're not allowed to show the bottom of your feet. You've got to have your shoulders and your legs covered and all that sort of stuff, which in the UK wouldn't really be a big issue. Like people would get over it sort of thing. But out there it's kind of a really... it's really like rude if you show them your feet and stuff like that. So those things kind of scared me a little bit in the fact that we're going to have to learn how to do that and learn how to do that really quickly in order to make friends, not enemies. So I think just learning and practicing now while we're in the UK, so then when we're out there, it's kind of a bit more second nature.
Anybody else want to add anything? Okay. So let's just drop into the last section, the Romans that we looked at last week. And this is a bit about Abraham. Now, Abraham for me is one of my biblical heroes. The whole understanding of the story of Abraham has influenced my life hugely along the way, particularly during challenging times in living out my faith and in ministry and in all kinds of ways. So Abraham is one example of living the gospel and not wavering in faith. And that's the phrase that Paul uses and picks up on Abraham, did not waver in his faith. Do you have any biblical heroes yourself? People, you know, biblical examples that are going, that you can drop back to all the time and keep you going?
So I think Esther is a really good example of someone who just has such courage and like determination in her faith to kind of... So I think that when she was chosen to marry the king, I think that she could have just taken that and run, being like, oh, I'm a princess now, nothing else matters. But she still had that in her heart to protect her people and like the courage to kind of speak to the king the way she did is just so amazing. And it's like sometimes people... The way we speak to people as Christians are not how people want to be spoken to. Not that it's rude, but it's just that the way that they that's not what they agree with, that's not what they want to hear. So I think that Esther is such a good example of someone who kind of bent the rules for her faith and had such courage to do that as well.
Okay. My biblical hero, I've got quite a few, but Ruth is, I think, a very amazing person. I think she's such a strong woman of God, and I think that's really powerful to that she's a woman of God, and that's something that I really look up to in her. And I think she's such a great, she's so, like, she's very encouraging for people, and she's really sort of there when people need her, and I think that that's really inspirational for us as women going out into a culture where they don't really respect women as much, so we're going to have to really sort of focus on that.
Okay.
I would never have pardon me. I would never have said I'd had, like, one biblical hero, but over the past few weeks, there has been one. So, like, a few weeks ago, I was doing my daily devotions, and so we're going through 1 Samuel, and it was talking about David. And the topic for that day was looking back. It was talking about how when David first said that he was going to fight Goliath, everybody was like, oh, no, you can't do that. Look at you. Like, you know what I mean? They were like, you can't do that. Then David said to them, oh, but I know that the God that rescued me from the jaws of, like, the lion and the bear will rescue me from the hands of the giant. So David, by looking back, he was able to move boldly forward. So this resonated with me at Minidon. Without giving you a sob story, like, my biggest fear is, like, water. So it's fair to say I was pretty panicked. Tears, everything.
You had to do this exercise at Minidon, didn't you, where you had to go through water to get food, to get your meal for that day.
Yeah. So I was bawling. It was hard. Because I sometimes still struggle with trusting God with that and trusting that he will get me through that. But then I done it eventually, kind of. Baby steps. But then, like, the next day we were doing, it was action team time to lead worship at Minidon. And they were like, right, we need somebody to do a testimony. And I was like, oh, I'll do it. Then after that, I was like, why did I say that? Like, why would I do that to myself? Because that's something that I would say I was quite scared about as well, as sharing, like, my testimony. Then I thought, right, if I can go through the water, if God got me through that, I can do this. Share my testimony for the first time, apart from, like, with, like, the girls. And then when we got back to IMC on the Monday, it was our turn to lead morning worship at IMC. I'd never played guitar in front of anyone because it's another one of my fears. Got quite a few. And I was like, oh, no. Because I said, like, I was going to do it. And then after it, again, I was like, why did I say that?
Do you want me to pass your guitar?
No, I think passed.
Yeah.
So for me, it was, God had taught me a lot through that story over the past few weeks about just, if you are struggling, just looking back and saying, like, right, God got me through that, so God can get me through this. So that's why I would say David. Yeah.
Okay.
I would also say that David's one of mine, but moving on to his Psalms, just the way that he's so honest and open and just expresses all of his feelings to God is one thing that I just feel is so important. Like, we shouldn't feel like we're holding stuff back from God, even though he knows it anyway. We should be able to, like, take anything before him. And another thing with the Psalms is that it amazes me all the time, like, how David goes through so many struggles, like, he expresses them through his Psalms, and yet in he then goes on to write psalms of praise and psalms of remembering all that God has done for him. And I think that that's just so important, and a lesson that I can always learn from. Just that God has done amazing things and will continue to do amazing things, even though I might be suffering at the time. Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's great. So you've got those biblical examples that you can come back to, and that's great, and you can hold on to those. You've also got your faith in Jesus. That might help a bit, you know. Yeah, just a bit, yeah. What about for us, though? What can we do for you while you're in Delhi? to really carry on helping, supporting you as your amazing training church, obviously. What can we do so that we can be involved in that, wanting to stand with you and journey with you so that you are not wavering in your faith one little bit, even if there's water that you have to face or whatever it might be? What can we do to help and support that, do you think?
I think the main thing, everyone says it's cliche, like prayer is good, but it is good. And for us to be out there and know that there are people back home who are praying for us, and that we can email and give specific prayer requests. Reading our blog would be great, because then we know that we're sharing our story with you, and that through our blog you might be able to pray for specific things. I think that's the main thing, really.
The prayer cards as well, they're always a help. They're there for, so that there's points that, it's kind of so that we know that there's things that people are praying for right from the beginning, right to the end. They're kind of like our basic, what we want to happen, which are really good.
And with your blog, if you write a post on your blog, can we respond? There's a way we can reply on the blog, is that? You're the communications person.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
So like you can leave comments, and then you can say like, oh, I liked when you talked about this, so that then we know then for our next blog what people are like and how we can best interact with people back home.
Yeah. And if
you ever fancy writing us a letter as well, they would be
that would be sweet.
I was about to say that. Can we send things to you?
There'll be an address
that we can. Is that on your pro cards?
It isn't, but we can give it you.
You can put it on the blog.
Yeah.
Because I think that's important, isn't it? That, you know, writing you letters, or one of you has a particular birthday, 18th birthday, whilst you're in Delhi. So you never know, we might be able to send something as well. So
4th of November.
And just to let you know, right, it is all of our birthdays while we're out there. Not
I'm
special,
18.
But
okay.
Just saying.
I consider myself told, yeah. Okay, yeah. And because I know, like for other action teams that we've had before, we've seen on their blog, haven't we? We've seen things like, we're really missing having whatever. And was it Haribo one team, wasn't it? Or something?
Ooh.
Yeah. Marmite.
I think we'll pass on the Marmite.
Oh, no, we'll send you some, yeah. So we want to carry on being part of your journey. We don't want it to be just like, oh, here you are, and then you pop back again in April and say, oh, we told you this before, and this is how it really was. We want to carry on being part of your journey, because through your example, it will encourage us not to waver in our faith as well. So it's a two-way thing that you can encourage and teach us. And at the same time, as we're reading your blogs and your examples and the things that you've overcome, as well as the things that, you know, God has done, that you weren't expecting, all of that, we can be encouraged by that. But we want to be able to carry on supporting you prayerfully and practically, if that's possible as well. So that's cool. So make sure we've got your address. So I guess post might take a little bit of time to get to you. Well, it's not like next day. Yeah. Okay. So 4th of November, we need to think about that. Okay. We haven't planned to do this, but I'm just looking at the clock thinking, well, we've got a couple of minutes. Has anybody got a particular question that you want to ask? Anything that's really intriguing you, or anything on your mind that you want to ask? Yeah, Margaret. So the question is about, as well as teaching about faith, what other practical things will you be doing for people?
So we have we actually have quite a practical program while we're out there. In the morning, our normal day, in the morning looks, we're doing quite a lot of women empowerment stuff. So teaching them English, teaching them skills so that they'll be able to kind of like have a future and have a job that they can then sustain. Is that the right word? Over time. And then in the afternoons, we're going to be teaching children English again. So it's a skill that they can use when they're older, so they can get a career, sports, and kind of really sort of practical things that, crafts and stuff like that, that they can then use in their future and they can pass on to their children and that sort of stuff. So we have quite a practical course.
That's cool. Okay. So the question is, what do families feel about these guys going on their trip?
We'll each have an answer.
Okay. My family, obviously, because they aren't Christian, they don't quite understand why I'm doing this. Like, Yeah, but like they are happy, but they just don't get it, more or less.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a similar situation for me. They're very supportive of it. My mum's a bit scared, I think, as you are, but they kind of see it as just me doing something positive with my life. Like, I've got skills, why not go and use them? So they're very happy, but I think that they just don't really understand why I'm doing it with a Christian organisation rather than just, like, any other gap year thing, which I can explain to them, but I think they're just happy for me to be doing something, really.
Okay.
Yeah, I think for me, my family are all happy that I'm doing it. My brother, don't know, he's 15, typical teenage boy, so he don't know what he thinks, but oh well. My parents are both really happy for me. My dad's actually been to Delhi a few times, so I think there's that excitement of I'll be able to come back and we'll be able to share stories and we'll each know what the other's talking about. My mum, I think she's really excited as well, but I think she'll probably struggle the most because, like, I'm around the house all the time and I won't be there. But, yeah, they're really supportive.
My family are really supportive. They, my dad would have been really disappointed with me if I didn't do the Action Teams program because he came to the open day and he was like, I'm going to do it if you're not. Like, he really was keen on me doing it. But my mum's a bit apprehensive about me going to Delhi. We had a bad Delhi experience in the past, which she was kind of a bit scared about. But she knows that I'm going to be safe. She knows that, you know, that she can get in contact with me. And they're really happy that I'm doing it. So, yeah.
Good. Okay. Any other one more question, maybe?
No.
So you don't speak?
Oh, no, Cody does. So, yeah, Cody's learning for us
all. So you're learning the language for them all?
Apparently.
Okay, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Will that be the first part of what you do when you get there?
Yeah, so we've got, is it 2 weeks?
1 week.
1 week of kind of, like, intensive language. But we're quite lucky in the way that most people over there will speak a bit of English. We kind of learn it for manners, mostly, to kind of show them that we're making the effort to kind of meet them where they are as well.
Okay. Say again. Would they like to hear something? Maybe after chat afterwards. Yeah, you know Hindu already, do you? Okay, share it with them after. That would be great, yeah. Okay. So that's cool. Thank you for this. It's been good to hear from you directly and ask you those questions, hear your responses. So the rest of today, you're having lunch with one church family, and then you've got a bit of time, spare time, and then you've got Sparks tonight. Then tomorrow morning, we've got assembly at Aston Fields Middle School. So you've got a lot on, so we'll keep praying for you to make it through that program. Then I'll take you back to IMC tomorrow morning. And so is it, you've got a full program again this week?
Yeah.
And then is this your last week at IMC? And what happens then? You go back home for a couple of weeks?
Just one week.
Just 1 week. And then you all, so you all have that bit of time when you're not together, apart from WhatsApp. Yeah. And then you all meet up again at the airport.
Yeah.
And then there you are.
Yeah.
It's coming around quite quickly. And I know you're now feeling the reality of that quite heavily, aren't you? Okay. Let's pray for you. And then I'm going to carry on with some other prayers, but let's pray for you particularly, first of all. Lord, I want to say thank you for giving us the privilege as church here to have to be a training church for these guys. And I pray for each of them. Lord, you will continue to fill them with that eagerness and excitement for serving you. Don't let anything cause them to waver from their commitment to you for these months ahead in Delhi. And we really look forward to carrying on the journey with them through their blogs and emails and finding out about what's going on and being in touch with them. And Lord, I pray that they will be able to feel open with us with their, if there's things that they're finding challenging and they want particular prayer for, let them be open and honest about that, knowing that we're a safe place to do that with. And I pray for all the practical things that need to fall into place and the things that are for each of them, different things that they're apprehensive about. We pray for safe traveling and all the new things that they will learn, all the as yet exciting unknowns, Lord. And Lord, we pray that for Hannah, for Cody, for Orla, for Amy, you will be empowering and equipping them to serve you in mighty ways. Father, we pray for the people whose lives that they will touch and interact with, that, Lord, they will see transformation in Jesus' name. They will see release from the things that are binding them up in Jesus' name. And then, Lord, we pray for all that they will learn about themselves and about each other, and the way that you will grow them and deepen their faith in you. So thank you for this commitment that they are making. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Great. Thank you.